Well, we are at the eighth lesson. We're talking about retirement tonight. Next week, we'll talk about passing it on. And be thinking next week, get a sense from you all whether or not you'd like to have an overview of the nine lessons that we had to kind of go through in a fast-forward type of a lesson. If not, it's not a big deal because I know that Brother Harlan is anxiously waiting to be back up here. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about retirement. Just same two slides. Our study goal has been to become successful Christ-centered stewards of God's resources in our lives and thus good representatives of our faith, establishing the fact that 100% of everything that we have is God's. Everything is God's. He is required of us. He's asked for a tenth of what he's blessed us with, a tenth off the top. We've approached these series of lessons. The first half, four or five lessons, were on financial peace of mind. They were really trying to establish the firm foundation with regard to what God would have us to do, trying to set the biblical foundation for us to be grounded upon. In the last three or four weeks, we've been talking about tools that are available to us in our personal lives and how we manage our personal finances, and hopefully that base that we've had in the first four lessons really has established the principles against which we make decisions in our lives in terms of how we are stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Retirement, is it biblical? Well, I'm seeing some head shakes.
I hope so.
I wonder what Methuselah thought, 969 years old. Interestingly enough, this is probably the only verse in the Bible, as I understand it, that alludes to retirement specifically. The Lord said to Moses, this applies to the Levites, men 25 years old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of the meeting, but at the age of 50, they must retire from their regular service and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of the meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. This, then, is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites. So I'm just waiting for Brother Harlan to say that if you're in the ministry, that he's only got, three or four more years before you have to retire. Yeah. This was, interestingly enough, you remember the Levites were actually the tribe that were given the responsibility of tending to the temple needs. And this was written about the time as they were exiting Egypt. And one can imagine that carrying and moving the temple and setting it up, taking it down as they traveled was probably a fairly physical type of an event for them. But this is probably the closest that we see anything. And if you look in the King James Version, it's pretty similar to this. It doesn't use the term retire. But the other thing is remember last week there was a verse that we read, I believe it was in Luke, about the man who was, we used it about cash reserves, but there was the gentleman who kept building, wanted to tear down his barns because he had so much and he wanted to build up another barn. And we concluded that it wasn't wrong for him to have had these possessions that were built up. What was wrong was the intent of his heart, that he wasn't looking at what could he use those for that he'd been blessed with, but it was more about him, and he was trying to say, look at me, look what I've done. And so again, as we look at retirement, as we look to what God has blessed us with, some of the principles are is that no matter what we have, God has challenged us to be content in whatever situation, whether we have been blessed with a lot or whether or not we've been blessed with a little. And I think that's a principle sometimes that we find it difficult to be able to wrap our arms around. Thoughts or comments on this? There's nothing wrong with retiring from a job so long as within God's will for your life and you do not become focused on yourself. That was the verses we just kind of talked about. Again, I think as we look going forward, as we're looking to plan towards our retirement, again, what is our reason for it? What will you do when you retire? Have you and your spouse had that discussion?
Yes.
Are you in agreement? Don't answer that.
But I think this is really, and we're going to talk a little bit about more about it, but I think this is really crucial. What is, as we look forward, do we have a sense? Because sometimes people, they spend all their time planning for it, but they never really just talked about what it is that they're going to do. I think that sometimes that there's great opportunity to continue to serve full-time in the ministry or to go to on the mission field. We've heard of people over in Romania that have gone to support the missionary over there. There's all sorts of opportunities it's one of those things to prayerfully consider. You know, what would God have you to do with your life?
Because, Jerry, that verse you just looked, the verse we just looked at, they didn't drop out of the ministry. They were to assist. They just took some, didn't do all the duties, but they were still supposed to assist.
Yeah, Sister Betty, that's an excellent point, and that's this point here, too. We can retire from a job, but we should never be retired. We can never retire from God's work. And you're exactly right. Exactly what that was said there in Levi was never, he wasn't retiring. The Levites were not to retire from their ministry. And you know, we see that sometimes. You know, all of our consciences sometimes need to be called to attention that we say, well, you know, it's time for somebody else to take over. You know, it's time for me to retire and to move on. And again, God can discern our hearts. He knows what our intent is when we make statements like that. Planning for retirement. You know, sometimes, you know, people look towards retirement and they just kind of bounce along and they don't stand back and say, you know, should I plan for it? You know, well, it's so far out in the future. It's, you know, 10 years, 15, 30 years down the road. You know, I'll deal with it when I get there. And I think biblically, if you look in Luke 14, 28 through 30, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begun to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. Now that can be applied to a lot of things in our life, but I think that what it does point towards is we need a plan. This gentleman was going to build a tower, but he needed to stand back and count the cost of what was it going to take to actually do that. And I think that's really what retirement is about. As we look down, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, having that discussion and planning towards it, you know, things are going to happen during that period of time. You know, God may have a different idea than what we have in our mind 30 years from now or 10 years or even tomorrow. But I think that we need to have plans and we need to look towards them. Again, what's the intent of our heart? Ten smart moves for retirement. Now, some of you may not think these are necessarily smart moves, but some things I think to consider. I think they're 10 good principles. Consider maxing out and catching up on your 401k or your IRA. The Roth IRA, how many of you are familiar with what the Roth IRA is? Okay. Roth IRA, actually, the traditional IRA, you know, you can buy it with tax deferred money, so you don't have to pay the taxes on it. The Roth, you buy it with taxes, it's already, the tax has been taken out, but everything that you put into it, and it's up to $4,000 a person now, no matter how much it compounds and goes forward, you're not going to pay taxes on it again. It's a wonderful opportunity. And
per year.
Right, $4,000 per year. And if you reach the age of, I believe it's age 50, you can actually add an additional. And it actually is going to continue to go up incrementally here over the next couple of years. Start saving early and consistently, taking advantage of savings opportunities. We've talked about this before, but again, if you have a plan, we may not be able to, as we've talked, you know, that sometimes when you're young or you may be in a position where you just don't have enough cash flow just to make ends meet today. And we've had conversations about that and having to really step out on faith and knowing God is going to provide. But if he blesses us with choices that we can make to be better stewards of what we've entrusted that go beyond meeting our basic needs. Then, you know, having that goal and starting early, there's, you know, I think we've had some of the discussion among ourselves that those of us that have moved into the middle to upper age wish that we could roll the clock back and that we'd started a little bit earlier and we'd made some of those earlier choices because it compounds, money compounds so much quicker or more when you start early. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Questions, comments? One of the very best ways to find extra cash is to pay off debt and reduce expenses. Early, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, there's another way at the end as you're getting closer to retirement, what are your goals? But here, to free up cash, if you do have an opportunity, again, whether it's even $50 a month or $100 a month, we're going to look at some graphs. It's pretty amazing, you know, how it can compound over time. And again, it's that whole thing of, you know, the instant gratification or you're planning for something that's going to happen downstream. Avoid the two biggest mistakes, being overly cautious and taking excessive risk. That probably differs for each of us of what level of risk we're willing to take. But sometimes we take too much risk. And, you know, I think having not all your eggs in one basket is something that is important to consider. Some work during retirement adds income and can provide benefits. You know, sometimes that folks, you know, plan towards that. One of the biggest things, if you're fortunate to be able to retire before the age of 65 or 66, depending on when it begins to phase itself in, working part-time, first of all, some people have said, I'm going to take almost a second career, something I really have a passion about that may not pay me as much, but I can begin to work part-time and I can do something that I really have a passion about. Maybe my job that I currently have doesn't give me that. And one of the keys, if you're fortunate enough to find a part-time position that will allow you to get health benefits. Health benefits cost an exorbitant amount, as many of you know, if you're having to buy it yourself. But again, that's something you can look, and that's something to plan yourself into, is those opportunities to begin to shift in your life. A guaranteed income annuity, for example, guarantees lifetime retirement income. This is controversial. It can be. Again, it depends on the level of risk that you want to take. Sometimes some employers will pay you the pension that if you've been with them a long time, they can give it to you in a lump sum, or they're willing to say, you know, we'll give it into a lifetime annuity, which means that you're going to get a fixed amount, you know, every month for as long as you live. Now, if you outlive their actuarial tables, you can actually, quote, make more money. The value of that annuity is more. But if you die prematurely, then the organization gets to keep that amount of money. Sometimes you can name your spouse as a beneficiary, but usually there's a less, you know, you have choices that you make up front on that annuity, whether or not you take a lesser amount, so it's split 50-50 between your spouse and you, or, you know, there's sometimes it's a 60-40, 80-20 type of a thing, or you get the full amount yourself and your spouse has nothing. Now, I've seen people who have talked about, you know, taking life insurance, and that becomes you take the maximize the amount of return on an annuity that you get each month and that you have the life insurance for your spouse if something happens to you. One of the things about universal life insurance, we've talked about that, not term insurance, but universal life, if you start early enough in life, it builds up a cash amount in there. And the longer the cost of insurance continues to rise, but that amount of money that's built into it actually can, you know, be used. If you have a cash flow problem, you can actually use it to pay the premiums. And depending on, you know, how, let's say it's a $200,000 premium or a life insurance policy, and I get to be 85 years old and I still have that, but I run out of money to be able to pay it. Then something that you might consider doing is going to your kids and say, you know, if you will pick up the premiums on this and pay this, then when I pass away, you can get them out. Now, you might kind of say, oh, that's something kind of morbid. You know, I'm waiting for you to die. But I think it's all those different types of options. What may work for you is good. For one person is not necessarily something somebody else would consider. But again, it's those types of things as you look on the horizon and the types of discussion I think are good to have. Questions? By having a fixed amount of an annuity, you have amount of money that if you always know what's going to be there. And sometimes, you know, for individuals, if you don't know how long you're going to live, that's really kind of nice to know, that there's something you always know is going to be coming in. Otherwise, sometimes you may spend down everything that you have if you're not working. Create a realistic budget. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're talking about budgets. We've talked about budgets we live on today. But as you begin to think about what kind of a budget are we going to live on when I retire, you know, that's another dialogue. We're going to talk a little bit about more of that today because some things change. Paid-up expenses such as mortgages and other debts free up more money in later years. This is the type of a thing that, again, that you make decisions early on. You say, you know, our goal is to be debt-free by the time I retire or we retire. That's all part, you know, that frees up a lot of cash flow if you're not having to pay a mortgage. And you decide from a car, you know, I'm not going to have any debt. Then you have a lot more choices. Again, everybody may not want to do that. But it's the type of thing, it's good to have those type of dialogues early as you point in your plan downstream of getting to the point of retirement. Expect and plan for the unexpected. Probably the biggest, and we're going to talk about this too, the biggest unexpected plan is going to be your health. So your insurance, and you never know what kind of a monkey wrench is going to get thrown into your life. And so you need to think about your insurance. You need to think about those co-pays and deductibles. Are you going to have enough money to be able to meet those types of unexpected needs? And prescriptions, right. Cost of drugs. Don't withdraw too much too soon. You know, some people, you know, you look and you say, well, I've worked really hard and I'm sitting there and I got $200,000 or something like that. But when you stand back and think about, you know, how long that will go if you take so much out each year, sometimes people, you know, make decisions and they spend too much and then they're left with nothing. And then you see crises. And you've seen this, you know, I've seen this, and I'm sure that each one of you can have known people that have made those mistakes and then they found themselves having to go back to work and their health and their choices. And this is about, you know, to the best of our ability is making prudent choices based on the facts and the information we have and then trying to manage those risks that we may think may present themselves. How much will you need to retire? Sometimes you're going to see numbers all over the place. Some people will tell you, and we're going to look at some things today that say you have to have 90% of your pre-retirement income. So if you were making, you know, $10,000, they're going to say you probably need to make $9,000. You need to have $9,000. Okay. Some people, is it 85%? Is it 70? Is it 65? Is it 60? This is a crucial because what we tend to do is when you go, and one of the things I think is really important is that realize the discussion we're having tonight in these whole series of lessons, I'm not an expert, and I really encourage you. You know, I heard Brother Harlan talking last week to somebody about Fidelity, and they actually have some very good programs and counselors. You know, there's other companies too, but I encourage you to go and talk to these folks. You know, if you're thinking about trying to put together a plan, because they give you, they will make you think too. But also realize that sometimes, you know, this question here is really important. It's very personal. And sometimes we allow people in the media to tell us what we need, and our needs may be much less than what the world standard is. in terms of what people think we need. Now I'm going to throw up, these are 9 or 10 different points. One of the things I want to say in general is that through my lens, and Wendy and I have talked about this, is that if you're fortunate enough to retire in your 60s, you know, and you say some of the things you'd really, that part of your retirement plans is that the Lord willing, that we can use what we've saved to be able to take to travel and do some things that, that you've always wanted to do. My observation is that it's not uncommon to see that when you first retire, you actually might spend, you know, right what you were making, and sometimes even a little bit more if your plan helps and works that way. But as you begin to slow down, you know, we're not going to be able to travel and do the things. You know, Robin's dad, you know, you're out and you're going all the time, and I think that's just great. Yeah, there you go. But I love it. That's your expense, yeah. Well, that's your retirement plan. That's good. I like it.
He was really thinking.
Yeah. But as you go along, even something like food, as you begin to think and try and put together a budget, you know, I eat a lot less now than what I did when I was 30. And I watch my dad and my mom, and you just see that the amount. Well, that's money. That's money. And so the amount of food that you need is probably going to cost, is going to go down. Housing. You know, when if you've been fortunate enough and blessed to be able to have your own house and it's paid for, this may not be quite the same issue. But, you know, if you didn't have your own home and you were renting, the when you were younger and you may had a family, you needed maybe a larger place. You might be able to go to a smaller place. So your cost of housing typically can find itself going down the older that you get. Not always. Not always. And again, it depends on your health. And if you have to go into assisted living or something like that, and those are some of those unexpected ones. The health equation is probably the most underestimated and undervalued in your retirement planning.
Model your current living space to accommodate
your
health issues.
You know, that's a good question or a good point. At the same time, that's one of those things that you can look on the horizon. You can say, I'm pointing towards, I need to live on, you know, Wendy and I have had this conversation, you know, if we are fortunate enough to plan it out exactly right, which you don't always are, we'd move to a single level home so that we didn't have to go up and downstairs. Those types of things.
Well, I was just thinking in terms of the expected or unexpected. I would say that expect you will have a change in your health. If you live long enough, you will have to have health.
Right.
So that's almost, to me, something that we have to figure into the factor with the way people live. It's just a matter of what year.
Yes, you know, and frankly, I think we're living in really some uncharted territories and waters because, you know, people are living longer and longer. And as we've talked, many of us are in that sandwich generations, you know, that we're dealing with aging parents that have health issues. And you know, it's a privilege to be able to be there for them. But again, it creates a whole other set of variables that we have to deal with. Clothing. I think the cost of clothing in general probably goes down. Yeah, that's not that. Well, there are always exceptions to everything in life, you know.
I'm very high maintenance.
There you go. Good for you. Good for you. You know, actually, it's, you know, and again, sometimes a lot of these things are generational. You know, when I look at my parents, they were the most frugal people. You know, they could get more out of a nickel than anybody I know. And you probably, you know, feel the same maybe about, you know, your parents and as you see how they live. And we talked before coming through the Depression. But they got enough clothes, he'd never have to buy clothes again if he lived 110. And they took care of them.
They might be from the 40s,
that's right. But again, you know, the interesting thing is that in general, you know, our sense of style, the older that we get, it doesn't have quite the same appeal to it that it did. Huh? That, now, that's not a bad thing. Do you understand what I'm saying when I mean that, though? Huh? Yeah. or is it that you would look good in? Or is
that
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad this is probably getting close to the end of these lessons. Transportation. Another thing, we're probably not going to be driving the amount of miles that we do. Yeah. There you go. But again, you know, having a car payment and the amount of maintenance on your car, just the whole issue around transportation, you know, if you plan towards it, is probably something that the cost can go down.
Or oftentimes families need two cars because right. Your lifestyle goes
exactly.
In two different directions, and when you retire, you can at least come down to one car. And
exactly.
Then there comes a point when you shouldn't be driving, and maybe you have no cars.
But again, those are the types of discussions that I would encourage us to have when our health is good and we look. And what can we learn from as we've seen our loved ones age? We talked about healthcare. Again, this is probably one of the biggest wild cards in the whole thing.
List that will not go down.
Yeah,
it didn't go up.
You're exactly right. And the next couple ones we're going to talk about to go down of this entire list. This is the one that I think you have to plan is going to go up.
Bad thing is it tends to be going up exponentially.
Right.
I mean, it's
yes. Right.
You can guarantee it.
And this is one of the single factors that keeps a lot of people from not being able to retire.
That insurance or
whatever. Entertainment's a pretty broad category, but again, it kind of goes with that principle, whether it's travel, you know, going out to movies, going out to eat, those types of things. Doesn't mean that we don't do them the older that we get, but again, it's
senior.
Yeah, you get a discount. That's right. Yeah, I got that when I turned 50.
You didn't turn it down.
No. But actually, I don't know if I've ever done it.
Oh.
Yeah. Taxes? You know, they're not going down, but you know, to some degree too. You know, once you start getting Social Security and those types of things, you're not paying taxes on. Taxes are reduced. You may be in an income level now. That what you're going to have and what you want to live on is going to put you in a lower tax bracket. So the amount that we may continue to escalate and go up, but in general, that's a lot about tax deferred income is in the hope that you'll be in a lower tax bracket. But it doesn't feel like it when you're paying it. But that's really the neat thing I got to tell you about that Roth IRA. I mean, that's a pretty slick deal if you can put your money in that because you don't have to pay taxes on it. So,
is it still considered income?
The interest has to be considered income, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
The issue is projecting out what kind of tax bracket you think you're going to be in.
Right.
That's kind of the issue of one versus the other, because if you think that you're going to stay in a higher tax bracket, then the Roth is the way to go. If you think your tax will change and you're lower, then you kind of fall under the umbrella of that anyway. And so not to pay taxes now is not necessarily a bad thing. So there's a couple ways to look at it.
So on the Roth, you pay
pay the taxes on the interest now.
No, you never pay taxes.
One's pre-tax dollars, one's after-tax dollars.
One is when you're, you know, the traditional IRAs
are like your 401ks and 403bs that you pay it when you pull it out, and you have to pull it out a certain amount. My impression of the Roth is that whatever it compounds and whatever it goes to, is you don't have to pay taxes on it again.
If you put $1,000 in, you would pay taxes on the $1,000. Everything in that account that it generates when you take it out is tax free. You've already paid the taxes.
Right. You're paying the $4,000. If you're buying a $4,000 traditional IRA, you're probably buying that at 70 cents on the dollar. Does that make sense? Because you're doing tax, you know, deferred monies. If you're buying a Roth IRA, you're paying that $4,000 after you've already paid the taxes out of it.
So the one $4,000 lower for your taxes today.
Right.
Right, don't.
But anything the Roth generates, you do not pay
on. Right. Now, the things to take a real close look at is the amount that you know. You can't start taking it out though until a certain age, and then you get to a certain age, and some of you may know this better than I, that you have to start taking certain amounts. Yeah, is it 70.5? You have to start. Yeah.
Well, that's why I was asking about Roth, because one thing, I don't know where we are in our discussion, but one thing my mom and dad are running into is because of their investment advisor or whatever, they're getting so much money that they're going to pay taxes on Social Security.
Oh, really?
Right.
Because they're
at the age, and so much has to come out of their retirements because of their life expectancy, but yet they're earning more than they're taking out every year that... They get taxed on their Social Security.
And that's
one thing to remember as you approach the retirement age, that money that's there is going to get divvied out on a life expectancy, and it has to come out.
And your income, if you work part-time, can increase your tax status too.
Right. And again, that's why it's important to sit down with somebody that really knows this stuff. I mean, I think we can learn from our life experiences, but these things change almost every year. What you think that you do today, you know, can change next year, and you're in trouble. Yeah.
The important thing is planning and putting money aside now. I mean, sometimes it's like, I don't have it figured out. Do something.
Right.
You know, and there are people you can talk to. If you work, Fidelity has free counselors, or most companies do. I mean, they want your money. They want to invest your money, and so they'll be happy to talk to you for free. So it's not going to cost you anything. There are advisors you can talk to that would love to take your money too. So, but do something. Something is better than nothing.
Insurance, again, is another thing. Again, if you stop driving, then your insurance goes away. But again, this can go up or it can go down. And again, it depends on whether or not you buy additional insurance for on top of Medicare. And some people choose to do that and say that's a good place that we want to use our money. It helps with prescriptions it doesn't cover in traditional Medicare. So this is an area that you really need to stand back and think, do I want to have that, keep that life insurance? What are the pros and cons of that if you have some? I'm going to show you two things real quickly. We're coming down. These are two web pages, and there's tons of them, and I'm sure that probably a lot of you have gone to different web pages, and you know there's different, you know, different tests that you can take and that type of thing. But this first one I want to show you, this future value of saving calculator, and if anybody wants, they're pretty long web pages, but I've got them here if anybody wants to take them and look at them later. This first one is future value of saving calculator, and this isn't the most scientific way, but now, you may not really be able to see this real clear, but this is actually a really cool tool. If you're talking about what this does, and you probably can't see it from where you're at, but you can say, no matter where you're at, you plug in a number here and say the beginning balance. In this particular case, this example, I said, you're starting with nothing. You have no savings whatsoever, okay? And I say, I just want to save $100 a month. That's all I want to save. This tells me, you know, and I put in interest rate, and I want to get 8% on it, okay? And then you can come and say, this whole graph comes across and says, I want to show me what it would be if it was 9, 10, or 11% that I got on my money, or conversely, if it was 6%, 5%, or 4%. But here's the point on this that I really want. $100 a month, 360 months. So this is a person who says, I want to invest $100 a month for 30 years. Yeah, that's what it would be. And the money's compounded monthly. And at 8%, I'm going to have $149,000 after that 30 years. If I got 11% on that money, I'd have $280,000. If I put $200 a month and average that over that entire amount of time, at 8% I would have $298,000, and I'd have $560,000 if I had 11% return. That's pretty incredible. That's $2,400 a year if you started 30 years ago. The farther you go, you have to ask more to that. And the reality is that you may not be able to put a lot in when you're younger. But the point that I'm trying to make here, this is a great thing to sit down with your spouse and just kind of play with numbers, go back and forth. It's a really cool tool on this web page to be able to look at. And there's lots of them that are out there, but this one's so easy to be able to say, no, I want to do $250 a month, or I want to do $300 or $1,000 or whatever, and how quickly you can change the number of years that this can, you can see what your money can do at different rates. I really would encourage you to take a look at this one if you're just sitting and looking. And if you already have an amount of money that's sitting there, you may have $20,000 that you've saved. You can also model how much if I add $100 a month to that, you know, what's the amount going to be. Questions or comments on that? This is the planning part. This is trying to look down and what types of choices and you know, it's a lot though to start saying I'm going to do $100 a month today and not going to touch it until 30 years from now. But boy, I got to tell you, you know, imagine there's a few of us in this room that woke up and say, where did 30 years go? This next one is you're going to have to indulge it for a second, and I'm going to let you listen to it.
Hi, welcome to my plan. Well, it's actually your plan, a way to help you keep doing what you love.
Okay, so you all hear that?
You need to retire.
All right.
Sounds scary? Well, it doesn't have to be. It's just a way to get you from here to there, and there.
I'm going
to
come back and turn this back on and give you context here.
With five easy questions, we can help you better understand what you may need to retire.
What this is, I'm going to let them play. This is on the Fidelity website. And what you need to know is there's a whole series of assumptions, but they try and take into calculation, and this is just a high-level planning tool. And what it takes into consideration, what they think your life expectancy might be given your age. It's also going to take into account how much they think that you're going to get based on your income for Social Security. It tries to factor in a lot of different things, you know, that put in to make this a pretty simple tool to play back and forth with. But again, at this point, what I would really want to do is to encourage you to start a dialogue. If you're not having the dialogue, have a dialogue and say, well, you know, I don't like this because of this. That's okay. Just have the dialogue and say, you know, that's realistic, it's not realistic, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this back up and go back, and then we'll play with it at the end. And this is, you'll see that we can change some of these things as we go along.
Hi, welcome to my plan. Well, it's actually your plan. A way to help you keep doing what you love. It all starts with what you need to retire. Sounds scary? Well, it doesn't have to be. It's just a way to get you from here to there. And there is just a number. With 5 easy questions, we can help you better understand what you may need to retire. Easy as that. How old are you? This is not a dating service, so try and be honest.
I'm gonna do my job.
How much do you make? Remember, it's not how much you think you should make. How much have you saved for retirement so far? Don't worry, there are no wrong answers. And how much do you save each month? You know, 401k, IRA, savings account, shoebox under the bed. Don't know for sure. Just give a ballpark. Okay, last question. What's your investment style? Do you prefer a conservative mix of savings bonds and CDs? Or does your portfolio include more aggressive investments with a higher concentration of stocks and mutual funds?
I think this is a real important component because this gets back to how much risk you're willing to take. If you're going to have just regular savings and CDs, you know, you might be down in the 2 or 3% range. That's what we talked about last week. You can get very aggressive growth, but you're taking much more risk, which you could get 12, 15%, and sometimes even more. We're going to go with just a regular growth.
Ooh, a chart. How fun. Let's talk about how this one works. See that number in the middle? That's around how much you may need for your retirement. The dark blue bar suggests what you could have if the market doesn't do so well. The light blue bar suggests what you might have if the market performs as it has up till now. Don't worry, this may be scary at first, but it's really where the fun begins, because this is a chart you can change. To get your numbers closer to your goal, start by making some simple adjustments with the sliders on your right. Time is your friend. Who says you have to retire when you're 65? Okay, here's the hard part. How much can you afford to sock away every month? Remember, saving a little more now could mean a lot more later on. Okay, let's talk investment style. If you're young, consider being a little more aggressive. Closer to retirement, maybe hold back a little. That wasn't so bad, was it? And the good news? It can only get better from here. Because we can help you create a retirement plan that includes some pretty big things, like pensions and other retirement income. Click Create a Plan to get started now. Or maybe you want to see which retirement account might be best for you. If so, click Start Saving.
Again, I've got this as a handout if you want to take a look at this. The Create a Plan, it doesn't cost you anything to go in and establish an account, and it actually will take you another 30 minutes or less to be able to get even more, a little more specific about what types of money and accounts that you might have already to can really tailor this even more for you in your own personal situation. But,
sure,
yeah.
What they use for golf?
85%.
85%.
Yeah, and you can go in and you can change that if you take that next step and go through their planner. But 85%, that's what it says. Your goal represents assets needed to replace 85% of your pre-retirement income. But it also factors in what they think you're going to get on Social Security based on the wages that you're talking about. But the thing is kind of cool here. You can say, well, no, you know, I'm really at $70,000 if I think I can get there, and maybe you've got $100,000 you have the equity in your house, whatever the case may be, and you can come down and say, you know, but I'm going to wait till I turn 70, and I think I'm really going to pump this up to $800 a month because I can. And I'm willing to take some risks. Now, what this shows you here is that if the market is poor, by their definition, Poor means that 1 out of 10 years, there's a 10% chance the market's going to be poor. This here is average, so 5 out of 10 years, it's going to be good, and then it goes up from there. So they're taking averages that they put into their calculator to go along. But again, in one sense, you can look at this, but you may come back and say, well, you know, 85%, I can live on $20,000 a year or $25,000 a year. Once you make all those different choices, but that's the kind of the fun thing about this. When you get to this one page here, you can make a lot of different assumptions just to see where it's at and what it does to your overall ability to be able to save money and plan. So I thought this was kind of a cool tool, and I'll put these out here if anybody wants them. You know, this is really my last slide, and our time is up. This is just some simple steps to be able to look at. We've talked basically about these, but calculate how much you'll need per year at your retirement. It's part of that planning process. Adjust for inflation. Typically, how most people will tell you over the course of time, about 3% average is what it's done over the long haul. So that's the factor that you want to put in. But, you know, inflation to me is it's kind of like people say your college education costs you $200,000, you know, to put a kid through school today. Well, you know, those types of things, and I hear them, you know, by the time you get to be 50, you know, your kids, you know, if they're young today, it's going to be $200,000. And you hear these huge numbers. That's where you've got to stand back and say, what passes a reasonableness test? And, you know, if people want to go to community college, it's amazing. You can do things a lot cheaper. And so it's the same way with inflation. You know, inflation assumes that you're paying, that everything that you do is going to go up 3%. Well, if you own your own home, it's that portion of your housing is not going to increase. Now, your gas and electricity and those types of things may go up with inflation. Calculate the need from investments. You know, you're going to have Social Security. You know, if you got investments, how much do you think you need? That's going to determine whether or not you want to take low risk or high risk. Again, you know, that becomes your risk tolerance. And if you're somebody who's willing to roll the dice, you know, then you might be able to get to your goals a lot quicker. But if you don't, what's your backup plan? Calculate how much is needed in investments to provide the income stream. That's where you get to that what we just talked about. You know, if you're only going to do it in CDs, you know, then you're probably only going to get 2% off of that income stream is only going to be 2%. If you want to do the stocks and really take the risk, then you might be able to get a 10 or 14% average stream off of that income. Subtract any present investments. In other words, it's important to know that as you're trying to build a plan going forward, what do you currently already have? So you're not starting from scratch. You're taking out what you currently have to figure out how much you need going forward. And the last is calculate your annual deposits necessary to meet the goal. Maybe it's $100, maybe it's $200, or maybe it's a number so big that you just kind of want to close your eyes and say, well, I'll never get there. But if you don't start, it's guaranteed you're not going to get there. 7 o'clock. Anybody have any last comments?
And one thing that you're not mentioning in this retirement plan, and that is your tithe to God. You know, I've heard all my life that you cannot outgive God. And what an investment. What an investment. The more you give Him, the more you give back.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying that. We've had some great conversation about that, and God says test Him, and one of those biblical principles that we talked about is that off the top, we need to be giving Him 10%, and whatever He blesses us with in retirement, we should be giving Him 10% of that, it's those types of decisions that we make. We put ourselves in a much better position to be successful if our heart is in the right place. Great comment. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, shall we stand? Next week we're going to talk about passing it on, wills. Brother Hartle, would you...